Time. It's time to talk to the food maven. Something that I personally look forward to very often, and I know his listeners do. Arthur Schwartz, would you sign in, please?
Here I am.
Yay.
Echo me. That means here I am. Let me start at the beginning.
Okay.
It's always a good place to start. I love cabbage. That is a beginning right there. But a couple weeks ago, could be sooner, more recently, I do the crossword puzzle every day in the Times. After Wednesday, I attempt to do the crossword puzzle. But anybody who does the Times puzzle knows that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, if not a snap, they're doable. Yeah. Thursday, they try to trick you. Friday is very difficult. Saturday, I don't even look at, because that's the day that the Sunday puzzle comes, and I now can do almost. Anyway, one of the clues was, and the answer ended up to be slaw, S-L-A-W, and it was red blank. I forget what the first part of it was, but red slaw. I never heard of red slaw. I thought I knew everything about food. So I looked it up and found out that red slaw is a particular kind of coleslaw that they make in Lexington County, South Carolina. And it's something to go with their barbecue. I had to make it immediately, so I did. And one of the instructions in one of the recipes that I read, and there are many recipes for this online, by the way. It's called red slaw because instead of it being mayonnaise based, it's ketchup based, like a South Carolina, well, like some South Carolina barbecue sauces, which have a tomato base from one thing or another. The red slaw base is basically vinegar, sugar, ketchup or other tomato product, and then a lot of other stuff, including a hot, and it should be spicy. So, I don't know, I read recipes that call for Korean chili paste and for that fake stuff that everybody's using these days. It's good, but it's made up. Sriracha. Those are all contemporary versions of this recipe. I'm sure in old South Carolina they were using Tabasco sauce or some other kind of hot sauce like that. In Tabasco, even though it's made in Louisiana, is not the favorite hot sauce in New Orleans, but I digress. So I made it. And I'm still eating it. It holds up in the refrigerator very well. But one of the instructions in some of the recipes that I read have you salting the cabbage, and in a couple recipes you salt the cabbage and vinegar it before you put in the rest of the dressing. I'm a big cabbage cooker. A lot of cabbage recipes start with, I think they're old-fashioned, salt the cabbage, let it stand for however long, but a while, and then maybe even squeeze out whatever water you can squeeze out. In my experience, which is extensive, almost no water comes out of this cabbage, and it does not, as some recipes will tell you, tenderize the cabbage at all. If anything, I think it makes it crisper. So it depends on how you like your coleslaw. There are many. You know, my grandfather made a chopped coleslaw, which, by the way, red slaw is a chopped slaw. So I use, for a 2-pound head of cabbage, first I slice, let's start with buying the cabbage. I see a lot of stores sell you a cabbage without any of the outer leaves. That means that it's old cabbage, or not old, but it's not absolutely the freshest. And the outer leaves wilted, and they took them off. It's fine. But if you really want one that was more recently or at least somewhat recently harvested, look for ones that have the dark outer leaves still intact and looking beautiful, and you can take them off at home. I don't have enough room in my refrigerator to put big heads of cabbage. And I do leave them on the counter for a couple of days before I cook it. Not that I'm aging it, it's just that I don't get around to cooking it. I did go to the market. So I always can depend on having cabbage around. And I try to buy ones with nice outer leaves. So I don't know, my own thing. They all are sweet. And even if you know, especially this time of the year, I'm finding the cabbage particularly sweet. So I said the cabbage is like the new kale. Did we say this on air or off air?
We said it off air. But
okay,
we
well, here
it
we go.
On air.
So, yeah. Cabbage is a power, nutritional powerhouse. Plain old green cabbage, nothing special cabbage. Besides having a good amount of vitamin C, it has a slew of other things, including antioxidants, not to mention antioxidants. And if you think about it, I thought about it, all the places where they live to be old, very old, have cabbage or some relative of cabbage, for instance, Brussels sprouts. No, well, Brussels sprouts are not that common. But Brussels sprouts, broccoli, not only the broccoli that we call broccoli, but the broccoli rabe, these are all related, cruciferous vegetables, and they are all powerhouses of micronutrients and antioxidants, and all the long-lived cultures dote on them, really. They have so many ways to cook them. When I was traveling around southern Italy to research books, I found that when you asked in a village somewhere, well, is there a dish that's particular to here? They would say some version of cabbage with potatoes, usually with potatoes. In old times, we're talking, before the 19th century, pasta really wasn't as common as it is, dry pasta. Dry pasta only came into its own in the 18th century. So potatoes, everybody could grow a potato in their backyard, even if it was horrible rocky soil. And cabbage also is very easy to grow. So, and you can live on cabbage and potatoes for a while. You throw in a little fish, a little bit of meat once in a while. You have a very good diet. And by the way, olive oil is also a fairly recent thing, but that also, throw that in, and it's a really good diet. In fact, I have to say that in my book, The Southern Italian Table, there is my favorite of these potato and cabbage recipes, and it's cabbage and potatoes with some pancetta, and I'm going to see if I can find it quickly so I can give you a real recipe. Some pancetta and hot pepper. Yeah, a little bit more elaborate.
I'm just going to say, the minute that you put pancetta in kale, for example, or chard or anything like that, I'm there.
You're there. Okay. Well, I'm glad you're there because I'm telling you, I haven't eaten this in a long time.
Okay.
Although I think about it.
No, this sounds great.
Because I was on the carbohydrate restricted diet, I couldn't indulge in potatoes.
We'll talk. I think potatoes, even though they're nightshades, are I shouldn't say magic. They're not superfood. I mean, but they are. They're like.
I don't know from nightshades. What's bad about nightshades?
Nothing. I'm just saying that they're a different grouping.
Sounds terrible, though. You know.
No, only deadly nightshade.
Oh, okay. So this recipe is from a part of Italy that tourists don't go to, only a little bit. Basilicata, the main attraction in this small, nearly but not exactly landlocked region of Italy, is Matera, which is the city that has been built around where people used to live in. You can, by the way, tour caves as like a museum thing. I don't want to go into whole deal on matera, but the potatoes and cabbage is different. So here's the recipe. At the bottom of your, I would use my 4-quart enameled cast iron pot. Somebody who comes to my next door neighbor who comes into my kitchen often. She saw me cooking in this pot the other day, and she said, "Oh, you cooking that? I thought it was just decoration on the stove." No, it's a 4-quart cast iron enamel pot I use for all kinds of things. So, 2 tablespoons of olive oil, 2 ounces of pancetta. That's not very much pancetta, and you want to make it into thin strips, and cook those together for a couple minutes just to render out some of the fat from the pancetta. And then add potatoes to the pan, about 1 pound of potatoes. I like to use Yukons or whatever yellow potatoes there are in the market, or an all-purpose white potato is good too, and cut into about half-inch thick slices, 6 slices. So you put the potatoes in the pan, and turn them over a few times in the fat that you've accumulated in the pan, a couple minutes, salt them. Potatoes, you know, I don't know, it eats up salt. So about 1/2 teaspoon of salt for 1 pound of potatoes, and a big pinch, if not more, of chili flakes, of hot red pepper flakes, peperoncino. By the way, Basilicata abuts Calabria, famous for its peperoncino, but Basilicata is also the cuisine, and the people are very hot. So, in fact, you know that hot pepper in a marketing name for hot pepper things, paste, whatever, in Calabria is Viagra Calabrese, because it's supposed to be aphrodisiac. So you put your aphrodisiac in the pot, and then you're going to use about 1/2 of a 3-pound head of cabbage. Now, I use green cabbage for almost everything, but Savoy cabbage is, I don't know why, this is not really the season, it's late for Savoy cabbage, but I've been seeing beautiful Savoy cabbage around. Now, that's the crinkly-leafed cabbage. Some people say that it's sweeter than green cabbage, but I don't think it's dependent on the cabbage itself. I don't think it's a variety thing, because I've had some awfully sweet regular cabbages lately, green cabbage. Anyway, you want about 1.5 pounds, so 1/2 of a 3-pound head of cabbage. But most cabbage I pick up is 2.5 to 3 pounds. That's why I'm saying 1/2 of a head. It doesn't really matter. You can use a little more, a little less. By the way, here's a point. Should you shred it? Should you slice it? Or should you cut it into, I don't know, squares, let's say? I like this, for this dish, I like it cut into squares. So here's what to cut a cabbage. The first thing to do is to cut off any dried part of the core. Well, you don't even have to do that, because you're going to cut it in half. Put the core on the board so that the head is relatively stable. Cut it in half, and then cut it in quarters. And now you can cut out easily the core if you don't want to cook it. The core is delicious, and you don't have to toss it away. But you do have to cut it very thin so that it will cook along more or less the same timeline as the leafy cabbage itself. Now you decide how you want to cut it. I often, like for coleslaw, just slice as thinly as I possibly can each quarter of the cabbage. For this dish, you probably only have to cut each quarter in half, doesn't matter which direction, and then across, and you'll end up with like 1-inch squares. And that's how I learned this dish, and so that's what I do. But you can cut the cabbage any which way, to be honest with you. So now cover the pot, put the cabbage on top, and on top of the potatoes, that is. And by the way, cabbage that I buy, I must say, is pretty dense, and I'm not afraid that I'm catching dirt or bugs inside it. But it's not a bad idea to wash it. And so after it's chopped or sliced, any which way you do it, I put it in a colander and rinse it well, tossing it around under the water. Now, if I was kosher, and I'm telling you this for a reason, if I was kosher, I would have to put the cabbage underwater and let it sit there for I don't know how long to make sure that no bugs did get in there because they would float to the top. Now, I know people in Italy who do this, and if you ask them why do you soak your vegetables before cooking them, they'll tell you that it's because their grandmother did it. And so people, you know, they learned it from their grandmother or their great-grandmother did it. So those people are possibly Jewish. The south of Italy was filled with Jews and Arabs before the Inquisition. And some people left because of the Inquisition. Some people stayed and converted. And some people became what we call crypto-Jews. They pretended to be Christian, but they kept up certain Jewish traditions, among which was soaking vegetables, because you had to make sure there were no bugs in it. So whatever you do, it's good to have the cabbage wet. Not soaking wet, but when you put it in the pan. And in fact, if you prep your cabbage a little ahead, and you have it in the colander draining, you may in fact want to add a couple tablespoons of water to the pot when you put in the cabbage. So that now you put in the cabbage, and you cover the pan, lower the heat, and let it cook for about 10 minutes over low heat. A liquid will accumulate. Now you can open the pan, and you'll see that liquid, not just the water on the cabbage, but the cabbage juices themselves, will be exuded from the cabbage and be simmering away. After another 10, cover the pot, and after another 10 minutes, turn the potatoes and cabbage together, you know, trying to get the potatoes from the bottom to go to the top a little bit, and the cabbage on the bottom, and then you're going to cook it another 10 minutes. That should be enough. A half an hour should be enough for both the cabbage and the potatoes. And if there's too much liquid in the pot, I don't like a lot of liquid in the pot, uncover the pot at the end so that you evaporate some of the liquid that's in the pot. It's going to be very delicious, sweet and hot, naturally sweet from the sweetness of the cabbage. I've been eating cabbage Jewish way lately, too, which is, it was always a dairy dish in our house, meaning it only had dairy products, no meat of any kind, and butter was allowed. So my mother would cook the cabbage in butter. I do this all the time. I have to make it just as a vegetable. But in the end, you can mix it, as my mother did, with egg noodles, store-bought egg noodles. That I bought some recently. I think I complained about this recently, too, that there are no flat noodles around. All the noodles you buy these days are curly, but these short, curly noodles are perfect to go with cabbage. So for a whole head of cabbage, you want anywhere from 2 tablespoons to a whole stick of butter, depending what you're going to do with this. I melt the butter in the bottom of the pan. I don't add onion anymore because I find cabbage is so sweet. You don't need to sweeten it up with onion. And as I was saying early on about trying to get the juices out of the cabbage by salting it first, I think cabbage must be changed. You know, a few weeks ago I complained about how ingredients have changed and you got to change your recipes to go along with the new ingredients. The example I gave then was there were no more chicken, no more 2.5 to 3 pound chickens. They were all 4 pounds. Anyway, butter in the bottom of the pan. If I'm just doing it as a vegetable, 2 tablespoons of butter is plenty. at least a half a head of the cabbage, shredded. Put that on top of the butter. Toss it. I use two wooden forks. I'm big on wooden forks.
Right.
But if you use wooden spoons, it'll work. You toss it all together, cover the pot, put it over medium-low heat. Be careful that there is some liquid accumulating in there. And if there isn't, you've got to add a couple of tablespoons of water, as I said, and a big pinch of salt, and let it cook anywhere from 15 minutes when it's a delicious, fresh-tasting vegetable to an hour when it becomes caramelized and brown. And either way, it's great with noodles. But the first way is what I do, to just have a nice vegetable. The second way is when I'm going to treat myself and we'll have it with noodles and maybe some sour cream. Now I'm making myself hungry. But that's not what we're eating today.
Okay.
Okay, so back to cabbage. I love cabbage soup. I mean, there was a diet, I don't know, 40 years ago, that was making the rounds. It was the cabbage soup diet, because cabbage is so healthy and so low in calories, and you can make it delicious with tomatoes and some other vegetables. You can make a delicious vegetarian soup, and I put cabbage, a lot of cabbage, in my minestrone. In fact, it's the only vegetable that's constant in my vegetable soup is cabbage. The rest are sort of changing by the season, you know, what's around. And my next-door neighbor, who was watching me actually use my pot the other day, said, oh, what are you doing? I was just cooking a carrot, onion, celery to start off. I don't even remember, but there were so many things. I was making lentils. There were so many things that we cook that start off with what the French call a mirepoix, or the Italians can call a sofrito, or other names too, that, you know, you could start, do anything from there. But if I make a tiny dice, it's not for soup. For soup, I don't mind everything being in big pieces. So, and what about, this came when I'm thinking about cabbage this morning, I said, ooh, maybe I should make some stuffed cabbage.
Right, exactly. That inevitably comes along. Now again,
yeah.
you're veering into a zone where we really, really should invoke Marshall, but
well, he was Hungarian, so I'm sure that.
Well, it wasn't that. He's just. I mean, that was how some of the sisters cooked. I have a question though. Is it always do you do this only with basically green cabbage, or are you veer off?
As opposed to what? Red cabbage?
Yeah, do you ever go to red cabbage? Yeah.
I love red cabbage.
Okay.
And speaking of powerhouse nutritionally, red cabbage is even more nutritious than green cabbage.
Okay.
And the only thing I have to, there are many ways to cook red cabbage, but if you want it to stay red, you have to have some acid to cook it with. If you don't put something acidic in, it's going to turn blue. And also to say, I don't think there's a way of determining this. I mean, when you go to the supermarket, the red cabbage is the red cabbage. But there are apparently parts, some places in some soil, it grows redder than in other soil. Anyway, I shred the cabbage. I put it in a pot with a little bit of oil. I do saute an onion in this case. I don't know why, because that's how I learned how to make it years ago.
Why not?
Exactly. Good night. So I saute an onion, add in the shredded cabbage, which still has the washing water clinging to it, several tablespoons of vinegar. I like apple cider vinegar. I love the flavor of the. I buy this apple cider vinegar. I forget the brand. I don't keep the jar, the bottle. It's one of these that has the mother, a vinegar mother, still growing in it on the bottom, so it's all cloudy on the
right.
bottom.
And by the way,
smells fabulous. Smells like apple cider.
And
anyway,
apple cider vinegar, I'm just interjecting here, is so good for you.
Oh, yes. And then I'll get onto that in a second.
Okay.
But because I have a story about it, of course. so about for a small head of red cabbage, I would use at least 3 tablespoons, if not a quarter of a cup, of vinegar. And you have to put some sugar in, I think, you know, to so it doesn't bite. Couple tablespoons of sugar, maybe not that much. And what I'm now using, instead of an apple, I'm using applesauce. Because we've taken to buying those little cups of applesauce. You know, if you need something sweet, it's better to take one of those little cups of applesauce than anything else. So I keep them in the fridge. And one container is enough. Along with the apple cider vinegar, gives a little under apple taste. And that's it. And braise it until it's tender. We like it very tender. It doesn't have to be very, very tender. Toss it around every 10 minutes. Cook it over medium-low heat, covered. If it accumulates too much, you know, liquid, you can uncover the pot. But only after the cabbage gets mostly tender. So, we were eating red cabbage so often last winter. I don't know why I haven't gotten into it this winter. But anyway, last winter, I forgot what I was going to say, but we were eating it a lot. So, and it lasts several days in the refrigerator, I might add.
That's really good.
Yeah. By the way, you know, cabbage, fermented cabbage, is also probiotic. Fermented cabbage is sauerkraut.
Yum.
And, kimchi.
Mm-hmm.
Using napa cabbage. It is another cruciferous vegetable, and they're both probiotic. What does that mean? They encourage the growth of good bacteria in your gastrointestinal system for good digestion and metabolism. And sauerkraut. Sauerkraut brings me to. And when we said stuffed cabbage has become a little bit too much work. Because it's underappreciated in my. You know, you make it's another one is tortellini.
Yeah,
I'm not making tortellini anymore.
Come on, guys.
It takes me way too long to make them compared to how long it takes to eat them.
Right.
So, but I do make good matzo balls, though. In any case. I was going to go off on a tangent, and then I decided not to. We were talking about, I don't remember, of course, so stuffed cabbage, a little bit too much work. So it dawned on me, and I haven't found it yet, but it's in my files. I used to make something called unstuffed cabbage, where you're making all the flavors of stuffed cabbage. For me, that's a sweet and sour tomato-based sauce. Sweet and sour, and the meat, the mixture included rice, which if you I know you're old enough to remember porcupine meatballs. So they were basically what we call porcupine meatballs in the 1950s, which were meatballs with rice in them. So, you know, a piece of rice sticks out a little bit, it's a porcupine. So porcupine meatballs, and by the way, also the same filling I would use for stuffed cabbage, cooked on top of a bed of sauerkraut, which is fermented cabbage. You can put fresh cabbage in there too, tomatoes, and as a souring agent, now this is old-fashioned, I use citric acid crystals, otherwise known as sour salt, and in the 1990s, when I was promoting my book Soup Suppers, which has my grandmother's cabbage soup recipe in it, I used to demonstrate it in cooking classes, the cabbage soup, and I bought a lot. I think it was actually from King, what's the flour company in Vermont? King Arthur. I think they sell it.
Okay.
I bought a very large quantity of citric acid crystals that I'm still, 30 years later, still working on, and I've given a lot away. The whole point was, each class, I gave everybody enough sour salt to make a jumbo pot of my grandmother's cabbage soup. But even doing all that, I still have a lot. So that, I, by the way, you can buy it more readily these days than one could in the 1990s. Like, I don't know, my grandmother always had it. She used it for a lot of different sweet and sour.
I wonder if, I'm just curious about whether it's been, what it originally was and what it has become. But how are we doing for time?
I think we have a few minutes.
You're out. No, you are over 30 minutes now.
That's what I thought.
Oh, okay. Well, how about next week we do cabbage 2/coleslaw?
That'll work.
Okay.
All right.
Everybody have a cabbagey week, and we'll continue this next week.
All righty.
Take
care. Thank you so much. Like I said, always look forward to Arthur Schwartz, the Food Maven, on Robin Hood Radio. Thank you, Arthur.